Greatest Hits London.
So firstly, Jonathan, thank you for joining us. Would you mind introducing yourself and telling us your role?
Yeah, so Jonathan Watts-Lay, Director of Wealth at Work.
So Jonathan, I suppose let's start this with a question around, I suppose, the concern that people in their late 50s, early 60s might have. Do a lot of people in that age bracket believe that they're not going to be able to retire?
Yeah, I think that interestingly, the older groups are a bit more confident about the amount of money they will get in retirement. And I think that's partly because you have got people that are in their 50s and 60s who at some point in their careers probably did have better pensions. So they had the old style final salary pensions, and albeit they may have only had those for part of their working life. Of course, that's given them a pretty good base for their retirement income. Whereas if you look at people that are more middle aged, they're the people that look as though they're feeling the most pain. So that's quite interesting, really, because you've got the older groups who may have had final salary at some point in their career. You've got the younger groups, so the people that are in their 20s who would have been auto-enrolled, because auto-enrolment came in 12 years ago, which meant that you were auto-enrolled in a pension and then you had to proactively opt out. And we know that very few people did actually opt out. So the age group that are feeling the most pain are people that are broadly speaking in their 40s, because they're the people that probably never benefited from a final salary pension, but also they didn't benefit from auto-enrolment in the early parts of their career. So a lot of those people spent the first few years of their career not saving into a pension whatsoever, and of course missing out on those early years means that pot of money was not there to grow and to compound over their working lives. So it's a bit of an interesting split, really. Younger people theoretically will be better off because of auto enrolment. Older people are better off because they're more likely to have final salary. But those people in the middle, those 40 somethings, are the people that are suffering most.
That's really interesting, and I suppose, how much of a factor is the cost of living crisis in these concerns? Are people sort of actively seeing the financial struggles that they're getting from the cost of living and thinking that it could impact their retirement plans?
Yeah, I think that's true, because one of the concerns is that even people that are contributing, you know, are they contributing enough to have the sort of retirement that they would like? People that are that have auto enrolled, for example, the contribution is 8%, which clearly is better than nothing. But I think, you know, most commentators would say you probably need to be saving somewhere between 12% and 15% throughout your working life. So clearly, it falls short of that, and it's difficult for people to find that money. You know, we've been in this situation where, of course, if you look at some of the big costs, you look at rents have gone up a lot. Of course, anybody who's got a mortgage, they would have found that their mortgage rate has gone up in recent times. In fact, some people are yet to feel that shock, because they might still have a fixed rate mortgage from when rates are low, and only now will they be going on to those higher rates. So of course, all of those things mean that people have less money to put into pensions.
And what does the local picture look like for London? You mentioned the stats are quite similar, but yeah, give us an indication into the research that's been done in terms of the London perspective.
Yeah, so I think in terms of one of the key things that we looked at is people's ability to be able to retire, and then we looked at that across the various regions. So if you look at that for the national picture, it's about 39% a concern that they won't be able to retire. In London, it's actually slightly lower. It's about 37% that say that they don't think they will be able to afford to retire. So, you know, it's not a massive difference, only a 2% difference. And you could argue that actually, if you look at most parts of the country, you know, they're following that similar trend.
I suppose just a final question, really. What, you know, fears around not being able to retire must have a really significant impact. So what's the sort of impact in terms of people's mental health and stress? And also, how can they get help in terms of resolving the issue?
Yeah, so I think I think money worries as a whole is an issue. We've done actually previous research which shows that if people worry about money, then that impacts on their productivity in the workplace. So they end up being less productive. They might even just they may even take more time off work. But then those money worries can then manifest themselves in poorer mental health because people get more anxious. In more extreme cases, they might even lead to depression, and often that impacts physical health as well. So there is a real knock-on impact, not just for the individual, but also for employers as well. But in terms of some of the things that people can do about it, one of the things that we talk to a lot of employees about when we're going in to try and help them is about how people manage their budgets. So you look at the weekly budget, the monthly budget, and a lot of people will buy relatively big ticket items, such as mobile contracts, broadband contracts, insurances, so car insurance or household insurance. But very few people still shop around for those services. Whereas we can demonstrate that if you shop around, it's not unreasonable to assume that you might actually save hundreds of pounds over a year. So it's getting people to think about those things. So you're not depriving them of the service. They're still buying those services, but they're just getting them at a much more competitive price. And then, of course, if you free up that money, then you can encourage people to say, well, look, do you need to put more into your pension? If you put more into your pension, then potentially the employer's going to provide a matched contribution, and also you're going to get tax relief on top. So it's a really good way of building up that pot of money for your retirement.
Brilliant, Jonathan. Thanks so much for your time. Is there anything else you'd like to add that I've not covered in questioning?
I mean, I think it's just in terms of where people go for support. So they could go to and have a look at the research on our website, which is wealthatwork.co.uk. They could also go to one of the government sites, moneyhelper.org, where there's actually really good information on pensions and savings and retirement. I would also encourage them to go to the government website to get a state pension forecast as well. So you just go on, put in your national insurance number, and based on various assumptions, it will look at what you will get as a state pension. And the final thing is make sure you look up all your old pensions as well. So people that may have had previous jobs and think, oh yeah, you know what? I did have a pension at that company I worked for many years ago, but I've kind of lost track of it. And people do lose track of them because even though the providers should be sending out statements, often what happens is people move house and they don't tell the provider that they've moved house, and so those pensions almost get lost. So again, try and look out those old pensions. And again, you can use something called the pension tracing service, which is if you Google it, you will find it, which allows you to find some of those old pensions, and all of that would just help people get into a hopefully a better position in understanding what they've got and maybe what they need to save if they want a better retirement.
Fantastic, Jonathan. Thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Great. Thanks, Alex.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye.